Yeah. I'm just showing your family around there, girl. That's all we're doing. This is going to be a participatory service today because I'm going to need a few of y'all in a minute to help. But the title of the message today is God does not give fresh revelation, but he rivets the old ones. You know, a lot of people think that, okay, God's going to give me a brand new revelation. And in all honesty, the book's been written. There's nothing else that's going to happen in that book. Everything that God promised, he's already done. You know, God came down, manifested himself in the person Jesus Christ. Christ sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He's left with us the Holy Spirit. All of that stays. There is nothing new that God is going to give to us. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible is very clear. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he doesn't want us to be unaware. The key with this also is that he said that in the King James, he uses the word ignorant. And it just means something that we do that's not productive in our life. And he doesn't want us to be unaware of the gifts that he has given us. Now, the term gift is a supernaturally bestowed upon the early Christians, each having his own proper gift or gifts for one reason. It was for the edification of the body of Christ. These were the results of the extraordinary operation of the Spirit as on the day of Pentecost. Now in 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says there is a variety of different gifts that God will give us, but there still is one Spirit. Now again, a gift is supernaturally bestowed upon the Christian. And again, the gifts that God gives us is to edify the church. 1 Corinthians 12:5, and there are various or variety of ministries. The term ministry, the definition is a Spirit-empowered service that is guided by faith. So if God calls you to do a ministry, it is something specific that God wants you to do, but you need to know that it is a Spirit-empowered service. God asks you to go lay your hands on someone and pray. It's not about you. It is about what God wants you to do. But again, it is something Spirit-empowered, but it is guided by your faith. You know, we've talked before in church, you know, to go, well, I don't believe in gifts. Well, great. You'll never have to deal with them. It's okay. You know? But faith is the most important thing that you and I have. Faith is the evidence of things that you and I have not seen. It's the very things that you and I hope for in our life. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:6, it says there are a variety of effects. The word effects is energizing, it's operations, it's focusing on the results of God's energy, his power in people living in faith. The church has become powerless. We talk a good game, but I don't think that the church understands their role in the Christian life today. I don't think you understand how important it is. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship. Is that because we want a seat filled up on Sunday? No. Are we building a new building just so that we can add more people? No. What we want to do, and why I believe that God says build the building, is that we will be able to minister to more people and change a life through Christ Jesus. I mean, you just heard a testimony of how obedience changed her life. You know, never would you go buy a car for $2,100 or $21,000 or whatever it was and then expect to get, you know, $500 short of what you paid for it. That's a God thing. I mean, that's the only way that works. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, but to each one, again, everyone in this building, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of this church. Now, you can look at the people in here as the church, which we are, but the church is the body of Christ. Now, the gifts that God gives us had a unity of source. They have a unity of purpose. And it's not for our personal enrichment to go, whoo, I went over and laid hands on Kim, and No. I can't do anything apart from Christ. He's the branch, I'm the vine. Apart from him, Scripture says, I can do absolutely nothing. So God gives us gifting for the common good of the church. Now, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift. Everyone in this room has a gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we talked about the term manifold. It meant that God would lavish upon everybody in this building these unbelievable grace that he has. And grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you think that she got what she got for her car because she went in and wheeled and dealed? No. She got what she got because of the manifold grace of God. And God has given all of us gifting, and we are to be a good steward. And the term steward means that we are to be a guardian of all of the things that God has lavished upon you and me. I got to be honest with you, today the Christians have been given a lot. But as we walk, you can see it lying on the ground. It's time for you and I to pick up what God has given us and be a good steward of the gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom, through the Spirit to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by one Spirit, to another the effects of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Now again, 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, but one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Now, I'm a firm believer that if God gave Lucy a gift and Lucy decides not to give the gift, then he'll come to Candy to go, well, I need it, so Candy, you use the gift, or vice versa. But I believe that he distributes to each of us in the situation that he has us a specific gift that will empower us to do something specific for the kingdom's good. Now, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom. Sis, come here, I'm going to use you this one. So Lori is wisdom. She...
Can I be right side of wisdom?
Huh? Yeah. See, she's very smart because you don't spell it this way. It's this way. Okay. That's why. But it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, wisdom is knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts, but wisdom is the proper application of the fact. Case in point, okay? All of a sudden, knowledge tells us, ooh, that's a snake. Wisdom says, don't touch it. Okay? So God has given to all of us wisdom. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, to another the word of knowledge, okay, according to the same Spirit. Would you be knowledge this morning, Miss Kim? Okay, did I hold it right? Okay, all right. Because if not, wisdom will tell me, okay? Now, the word of knowledge is information given to us supernaturally. It is knowledge of things that we could not know through natural acquisition or study. Years ago, I'm 12 years old. I mean, I've got me a brand new pair of Brogan shoes on. I got me a nice pair of silk pants on. I got a shirt, got a sweater. I'm dressed. I'm cool, okay? I am going to go to the show because I got a girl that I'm going to go meet. Well, my sister is going to that show also with a boyfriend. Well, my mom said to me, I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you that you should not go tonight. Brand new shoes, slacks, I mean, I'm looking good, you know? I got a girl waiting for me, Oscar. I'm going to the deal.
You got it going on.
Well, I don't know it, but at the time, my sister has a little riff with the boy that she's with. He gives me some whiskey in my cup. I'm 12 years old. Well, I'm drinking a little of it. It's new for me. Well, then he goes and tells the police. Well, the police come to me and went, hey, let me smell your drink. Well, he smells the drink. I ain't got to tell you that I didn't get to watch the show. I got to watch the cage in the back of the police car driving to the police department. My mama, when I got home, said, I knew, well, you know, mama's going to do that anyway. But she said, I knew that something was not right. And I knew that you should have stayed home. And I believe that God had given to her a supernatural knowledge of things that were going to happen. And I didn't listen. And I think God does the same thing to us today. 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Can you be faith? Okay, don't let wisdom and knowledge be whooping on you this morning, okay? So, it says to another, faith by the same Spirit. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the assurance. We all need assurance of things that we hope for in our life. She was hoping for a car. She was hoping that she wasn't going to take an actual beating on the car. God said, and by faith she did. So now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the convictions of things not seen. Read a great story the other day of a young boy that was watching his daddy, Ricky, shave. He had a beard. Daddy had a beard. So the young boy goes in with the razor every morning, and he's shaving, you know, just like we do that have beards today. Well, that was faith because I'm telling you, it was the assurance of things hoped for. He wanted that beard, but it was the conviction of things that he ain't seen because he ain't had a lick of hair on his face. But every morning, by faith, he went in there and shaved his face. Well, you know, we laugh at that, but in all honesty, we need to operate the same way. There are things that we hope for, and we need to live our life according to the hope, but it's the conviction of things that we have not seen. There are things that are happening now that I have not seen, but I'm telling you, I'm going to live by faith knowing that these things are going to happen because my daddy told me that they were. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:9, to another. Candy, you want to be healing this morning? Okay. You might have to talk to wisdom and knowledge over there, okay? But now she's got faith, so how many? There it is. All right. Now, there are three different words used for healing. First is sozo, and it means restoring soul, spirit, and body. The other one is where we get the word therapeutic, and it's the cure through various ways. The other one means instantaneous, miraculous healings. It means to be made whole. Okay? Now, I got to tell you, when Corey went to the hospital, he needed a healing. You know, when Lucy went to the hospital, I'm telling you, she needed a healing. Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, and to another the effects of miracle. Will you be miraculous this morning, Lucy? She needs one. Okay. Well, you're sitting next to healing and knowledge and wisdom and faith. So, I mean, here we are. So, a miracle is something that is humanly impossible, but divinely simple. The difficulty must be measured by the capacity of the agents doing the work. When with man, if we go into a situation, we know that sometimes it is impossible, but we have to begin to live every day of our life with the gifts that God has given us to go, I can't do this, but I have a God I know that can. Because Scripture says with God, all things are possible in our life. Okay? Martha, be prophetic. I didn't say pathetic. I said prophetic. Okay? She's going to talk to wisdom here in a minute and go, whew. 1 Corinthians, again, says to another prophecy. The gift of prophecy is speaking forth the word of God. Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is being a channel through which the Lord may speak. So if God gives to Martha a prophetic statement, then he is going to speak through her to us. Okay? All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:10 says, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits. Okay? Leon, come on over here and distinguish some spirits for us, would you? Now, the Bible teaches that there are two coexisting worlds. We are not conscious of the other world, but it is very conscious of us. The Bible calls it the world of the spirits. And this spiritual world is real. And it has a very strong influence on us. And it can either be good or it can be evil. Okay? We need people in the church that have a distinguishing spirit to tell us to go, heads up, guys. Okay? Now, Hebrews 1:14 says, and they not all, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Now, Ephesians 6:12, and you know this, it says, for our struggle that you and I fight every day is not with flesh and blood, but it is truly against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Distinguishing spirits is important for us as a church. Now, 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. If you don't think that Satan wants you guys down, y'all are only fooling yourself. We know that the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that, okay? But with that, It is great to have the gifting that someone has of distinguishing spirits. It says to another various kinds of tongues. Daryl, come on over here and be tongues, okay? Now, the Greek word tongue is glossia, and it means speaking in a language that the speaker himself does not understand, okay? Now, it could be a known language, as Paul said, I speak with the tongue of men, or it could be a dialect from heaven, as Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of angels. Now, Isaiah 28:11, it says, indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. 1 Corinthians says, the law is written by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Now, the last is verse 10, to another is the interpretation of tongues. Okay? Bring your chair with you, okay? All right. Speak to him and interpret to him. He needs a chair, okay? All right. So, but again, it says to another the interpretation of tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:11, therefore let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret that tongue. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 says, for I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen and your gifting of thanks, since he doesn't know what you're saying? So it is important for us that someone interprets a tongue, or it's not biblically correct. Okay? Everybody in this room from time to time is in a mess, okay? We all have challenges. We all have struggles in our life. Everybody in this room has been called by God to be a part of the body of Christ, and God has given you a special gift for the common good of this church. Now, hypothetically, say, for instance, you don't come today. You're busy, you're tired, for whatever reason, you don't come. All right? Now, say, for instance, Lori is the one, go ahead and sit back down, that Lori goes back in and she doesn't show up today, but Lori has a word of wisdom. And maybe somebody in this church needed that word. Well, all of a sudden now you're beginning to see that if you don't show up and God has a gift for you and God wants you to use your gift and you don't show up, somebody might need the gift that you had, like a word of wisdom, and you're not going to get it. Why? Because you made the decision that I'd rather stay home today. Now, we all need knowledge. Knowledge will tell us that that's a snake. Wisdom says don't pet the snake. We all need knowledge in our life. But hypothetically, Kim goes, I don't have time to come to church today. So she stays home. And somebody in this room needs knowledge. Somebody needs something to help them get past where they currently are. God has given her the gift of knowledge. God said, Kim, you need to be to church today. But hypothetically, Kim says, oh, I went out last night. I'm tired. So Kim doesn't come. How about the person that comes in church on Sunday morning that goes, I need the knowledge. But Kim's not here and she's got the knowledge to give. Well, it hurts that person because she stayed home. Hypothetically, there are more people out here, thank you, Miss Faith, that go, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I mean, I got two car notes. I got two cars. I got two in. How am I going to do this? And they might come up and be crying. Well, I got a sister that can come over here to go, let me tell you what faith did for me. But now if she stays home and she doesn't show up in church, will she ever get the faith that she needs? And the answer is no. Now, healing, big thing. Thanks, Ms. Candy. There's a lot of people in our lives that need healings. You know, the other day, there were just some things happening, and I really got frustrated. And the first thing I called, because the city, and make sure y'all all got the email, we're not going to go to city council on Monday night. But I got frustrated because of the sign. Well, who pulls up in the parking lot? Dwight Raven. He's headed to Atlanta for his treatments. God said, you really don't have a big problem, do you, Keith? Oh, no, I really don't. So then we had an issue with the building. I got frustrated again, and I called someone, and they said, I'll call you back, but I'm currently taking my sister to MD Anderson. The Lord said, you really don't have a problem, do you, Keith? And I went, no, I really don't. But if Lucy has, or Candy has, the gift of healing, and one of you guys or somebody walks in off the street and they went, I'm sick and I don't know what's wrong, or, you know, I'm throwing up and I don't know what's wrong, or I don't, well, if Lucy's got the gift of healing, or Candy does, then the challenge is, if she's gone, who's going to utilize the gift? Do you think that God brings people to our church because they just passed by and went, there's a building over there, I think I'll pull in? No, God brought them here so that they could be ministered to by the people in this church who God has given a special gifting to that will change their lives through Christ. Now, amen. Lucy needs a miracle. Okay? Well, I believe that people in this church have the gift of miracles. But if Lucy needs it and the person's not here, she's not going to get it. And sometimes we flippantly go, you know, I just didn't have time to go. No, you don't have not the time to come to church because God has given you the gift. Lucy needs the miracle, and because you weren't here, she didn't get it. And sometimes we just go, you know, I don't see. No, you're important to the life of this church. Thank you. Prophecy. It's amazing the people that are in our church that have the gift of prophecy, that can prophesy and say, you know, I know that this is going to happen. God has said to me, and you know, you don't hear about it for a week or 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, you know, you begin to think about, oh my gosh, I remember what they said, and now it's coming out, this is true. Sometimes you need to come to church because if you have a gift of prophecy, then you need to get yourself in church. Just as this sister stood a minute ago and gave her testimony, have the boldness to go, I've got a word that I need to share with this church because it affects us all. But if Martha didn't show and we needed it, then it affects the common good of the entire church. Thanks, Leon. Now, here's one of that is important to all of us. You know, again, if you think that Satan wants us to strive to excellence, you're crazy. Satan wants us down. And if we have spiritual eyes, there is a fight going on right now, right here, right in front of us against good and evil. Every day that they begin to touch that building over there, I promise you that Satan's got all of his cronies over there going, we're going to put this down. But if Leon's got the gift of being able to discern, and that's the gift that my daughter's got, she will come and go, Dad, this is not good. Something's wrong in this picture. But if Leon doesn't show and someone in here wants something done and he's got a message to go, you need to be careful because of his absence, you will suffer. Now, here are the next two and things. There are various kinds of tongues. I know that a lot of people go, this is a bunch of nonsense. There are a lot of people will say that that gift ceased right after the day of Pentecost. And I'm here to tell you that it's probably not as prevalent today as it was then. And I think one of the reasons that God doesn't utilize the gift like he used to is because there's a bunch of games being played. I think the other side of it, there is skepticism to go, I don't believe in it. But I'm telling you this, that one of the ways that you know that the gift is true, well, how do you know that that was a language? Well, how can you tell me that it wasn't? And I used to have a pastor would go, if Daryl got in here and spoke in tongues, we'd shut the service down, we'd tape the tape, we'd take it to a linguistic, and define that in Scripture where God says to do that, okay? How do I know that it's true? The Bible says this, that whatever is spoken in this church, if Daryl speaks in tongues, there has to be, thank you, Oscar, an interpretation of the tongue. And if by some chance he would interpret the tongue and he would chastise the church, then that's not right. The Bible says that the interpretation needs to be, or the tongue that was spoken needs to be for the edification of the body of Christ. How do I know that that was a real language? By faith. How do I know it's correct? Because the Bible says this is what happens. The Bible even said in one of the scriptures, pray that you can interpret yourself. But if it's not for the edification of the body of Christ, then it's wrong. And I tell you this, that if you speak in tongues and no one interprets, you missed out. I think you missed the step to go, I kind of missed out on God that way. But here's something else I want us all to be careful of. When I stand up and begin to speak in tongues, I am saying, thus saith the Lord. And when the one comes up and interprets, he too or she too is saying, thus saith the Lord. And you better make sure that you're saying what the Lord wants you to say. Because if not, you're speaking something that he never asked you to say. So it is important for everybody in this room that we have all been given a spiritual gift. Romans lists some more. There are different kinds of help gifts that God wants us to use too. 1 Corinthians 12 and 30 says, all do not have gifts of healing, do they? Well, we know we don't. All do not speak in tongues. All do not interpret. But earnestly desire the greatest gift of all, and that is love. See, the Bible says without love, you can do all you want to, and it's like a clanging cymbal. You're making a bunch of noise, and it's not going to do you any good at all. And it is important for us to live our lives according to God's word. 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body is not one member, but many. And then verse 7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. We are the body of Christ. Kim could be the hand, and Ricky could be the arm, but the hand doesn't work without the arm, and the arm doesn't work without the hand. You know, Candy could be the head, and Lucy could be the eyes. A head is no good without eyes. Everybody here is so important to the body. And let me leave you with what Charles Spurgeon said. The Holy Ghost does not reveal anything fresh, but he brings the old things to our remembrance. The canon of Revelation is closed. Nothing is going to be added. That's why the Bible says, take nothing from and add nothing to. God does not give fresh revelation, but he rivets the old ones. When God says you were saved by the grace of God, that's it. And sometimes he needs to rivet the old ones to us because we have been saved by God's grace. But it says God does not give fresh revelations, but he rivets the old ones when it has been forgotten and lays in the dusty chambers of our memories. He fetches it out. He dusts it off. He doesn't paint a new one. There's no new doctrines, but the old ones are often revived. Church, we need in our life the Holy Spirit. And God has said, I have left the Holy Spirit with you. But I want you to understand your role. When you're not here, the whole body suffers. And my prayer is that you will see the importance that you are to this church. I pray that you will see the importance of the gifting that God has given you. And then I pray that you have the boldness on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursday and Friday and Saturday to use the gifting that God has given for one reason, to change a life through Christ. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap. Okay, today. Amen.